Welcome everybody to the Sleeper Wire Show. Professor Chris and Nader here with you this Thursday evening as usual. We have a special guest on the show, rankings pro and analyst for Draft Sharks, Jared Smola. You can find him on Twitter at SmolaDS. Jared, how's it going, man? Thanks for joining us.
It's going good, guys. Thanks for having me on. Always love talking football.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, unfortunately, we have no football going on tonight.
That's sad.
Thursday night football.
That's real sad. The NFL should have done something.
Yeah, I mean, we get Tuesday night football, so that'll be nice at least.
Is it?
Yeah.
It will be. Next week it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then Thursday. So
I'd be okay with like maybe like one game every each at least day during the week. I wouldn't mind like a Saturday football, Friday football.
Yeah, to me, the more island games, the better, because you get to, you know, watch the games.
Yeah, and then if you have something or somebody going on your fantasy squad, then you have something to watch at least.
Yeah, screw college football, right?
Yeah, true.
is that even happening still? I don't even know. I feel like every game gets canceled.
I know a lot of schools have canceled.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a fun show for you guys tonight. Since Jared is on the show, we're going to be doing the not top 10 this week. You can see where he is at. We're not going to jinx him here, but if you go to the in-season accuracy rankings, you can see his name pretty close to the top. And we thought doing not top 10 would be a fun little thing here. But before we get into that, we're going to hit some news. And before the news, guys, SleeperWire has a ton of stuff going on right now. First, do you want to win a signed Chris Godwin or Kenny Golladay jersey? Once we reach 100 patrons at patreon.com/sleeperwire, we'll randomly pick one person, announce them on the show, and they'll get their choice of the jersey. And even the $1 tier gets you into the contest. You don't need to, you know, pledge $10 or anything. Just the $1 tier gets you into the contest. Also, the SleeperWire store, check it out. If you want to get a SleeperWire mug or SleeperWire face mask or SleeperWire hoodie, ton of stuff there. You can get 15% off your order at sleeperwire.com/store. Let's get into the news. And guys, we have the big news that, you know, probably by now everybody has heard of. Will Fuller is not going to finish the season, but it's not due to injury. So good for him. Been suspended for 6 games for violating the NFL's performance-enhancing substances policy. So he is done for the season. Jared, how does this affect Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure if you've listened to like any podcast this week, you've probably heard the, you know, Watson splits with and without Will Fuller. I'll run through them quick, though. I mean, so for his career now, Deshaun Watson with Will Fuller has averaged 284 yards and 2.2 passing touchdowns per game. Without Will Fuller, that drops to 229 yards and 1.2 passing touchdowns per game. And of course, you know, most of that, I guess pretty much all of that without Will Fuller has come with DeAndre Hopkins, who, you know, is obviously gone now too. So it's definitely a concern for Watson, especially when you factor in that, you know, the next 3 weeks he faces the Colts, Bears, and Colts again. So three tough matchups for Watson in addition to the loss of Fuller. So it's a concern. I mean, if you've been riding with him all season, I'd stick with him this week at least and kind of see where it goes. But, you know, I think he's probably more of like a low end quarterback one going forward.
Nader, what are you thinking?
I would have a tough time starting to Sean Watson, but I would have an easy time putting in Brandon Cooks on my roster. I think he is easily going to be a plug and play wide receiver too, with massive upside. Just goes to show. Well, see, my question to you guys is Will Fuller healthy all year because of the PED? You got to think of it that way.
I mean, yeah, he say that, and you know, he openly came out and said, yes, I did this. So he owned up to it. But it was just something that he thought he was allowed to take before the season, right?
That I'm not entirely sure. I think he said it was a prescription that his doctor gave him.
That's what he said. That's the excuse we hear from 80% of these guys. Like, I took it. I thought it was okay. It wasn't. I mean, I think as an athlete, you're responsible for, you know, what you put in your body. But I mean, it is a contract year for Fuller. So, you know, maybe he was looking to do whatever it took to stay healthy this season.
Well, and 6 games is kind of lenient too. Did they change their punishment for the performance enhancing substances? Because I remember a few years ago, Robert Mathis took, you know, pregnancy pill, not pregnancy pills, but the pills to help get his wife pregnant because they were struggling. And it had something in it that was, you know, on the PED list, one of the ingredients. And he got suspended for the season for taking that.
I think one violation, 6 games, second violation is a year. Third violation is full on ban.
The full on Josh Gordon.
Full on. We'll see. We'll, now that you mention him.
That guy won't go away.
Well, yeah, we will end the news talking about him. Brandon Cooks or Kiki Cutie, which guy is going to step up? I had Randall Cobb here in the show notes as well, but he's on IR right now. So let's talk about Cooks and Cutie.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Cutie probably gets like the bigger bump. Cooks definitely, you know, the better fantasy option for him. I mean, Cooks already was like a top 20 wide receiver, averaging a little over 7 targets per game. You know, Fuller's leaving behind about 7 targets per game. So I think Cooks gets, you know, a few extra. Cutie will be interesting. I mean, I don't think his playing time is going to climb necessarily, you know, from what we saw at least last week with Cobb out. He's going to be the slot guy still. We'll see what they do on the other side of the field opposite Brandon Cooks. But, you know, Cutie's target share should climb without Fuller in there. So I think, you know, he has a chance to be like a wide receiver 3 in PPR leagues the rest of the way.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you there. But Brandon Cooks, he's going to be the, what is that? He's going to have 4 1,000-yard seasons with different teams. So, I mean, I think that just goes to show how much of a good wide receiver he's been throughout his career.
And he stayed healthy. Yeah, so far anyway.
So far. Well, I don't know. Maybe they'll test him next week and he comes up with the same thing. So
could be. Well, let's move on here. Dalvin Cook suffered an ankle injury on Sunday, but he is not expected to miss any time. Gary Kubiak said he is just kind of beat up, which is, you know, great news if you're a Dalvin Cook owner, if you roster him in your leagues. I was playing against him in my money league this past week. So I was happy to see him go down and not be super hurt and come in and be ineffective. I was pretty okay with that.
You're a terrible person.
I know. Josh Jacobs sprained his ankle Sunday. He did not practice Wednesday. He still has a chance to play. Did he get in there on Thursday? I don't think he did. Did he?
No,
he did not.
So Devontae Booker, is he the guy? A lot of waivers haven't run yet. Is he the guy to pick up?
It's got to be the number one claim. And if you have a claim, you got to spend it on him. I think this is it. It's clutch up or kick kicked.
What about percent of your remaining fab? What would you spend on Devontae Booker? Say you don't have Jacobs.
If Booker would start for you this week, and I think he would for a lot of teams, I mean, at this point in the season, I'm willing to like spend whatever I have left for like a guy who can really help you win this week. Good spot, obviously, against the Jets. Booker's been good this season. The interesting thing is going to be, it looks like Jalen Richard and Theo Riddick are going to be eligible to play this week. Riddick was on the COVID list. Richard was out with an injury. You know, those guys being back adds a bit of risk. Like I could see Booker, you know, losing passing down stuff to Richard, but he should be the lead back again. 15 plus carries, probably in a good spot against the Jets. So I think he's like a top 20 play if Jacobs is out.
Gonna have to agree. If I have a last single dollar of fab, I will put it all for Devontae Booker.
Julian Edelman has been placed on the reserve COVID list. That's something to keep an eye on. In reverse of that, Adam Thielen and Jonathan Taylor were activated from the reserve COVID list, so they're going to be back. And Zach Ertz was activated off IR, so you can probably expect him back in your lineups this week. We have a doubleheader on Monday Night Football. Don't forget Washington and Steelers, and then Bills and 49ers. So not huge games, I would argue. I would say probably kind of duds. I would rather watch Washington Steelers than Bills 49ers. What about you, Jared?
Oh, come on. Josh Allen's like the most fun player in the NFL to watch. You never know what you're going to get with that guy.
You know, you kind of look like a little bit of a Josh Allen with a little bit more facial hair.
I'll take it, I guess.
Not a bad look. I'm going to disagree with you there. I mean, anytime Josh Allen steps on the field, it's much watch football. And then against the Niners, who are fighting for a playoff spot, I think that is going to be much more entertaining than a Washington Steeler game.
I have a lot of Terry McLaurin and Antonio Gibson, so I think I'm biased. That's what I'm looking for here.
Oh, God.
Might be a rough week for those guys.
I mean, I'm a huge Niners fan also, so I'm going to have to say I'm a little biased as well.
Cowboys-Ravens has been moved to Tuesday. That was the game that was supposed to be tonight, right?
You would be correct.
Yeah, now it is from Thursday Night Football to Tuesday Night Football. Jay Glazer, last bit of news here, said that Josh Gordon will be reinstated this season, but he's only going to be available for the last two games, so week 16 and 17. And, you know, for 90% of leagues that have a week 16 championship, is it worth picking him up, Jared?
No. I mean, we, you know, we saw him play a few games with Seattle last year, and he wasn't really fantasy relevant because, you know, best case, he's the number three guy there. Behind Metcalf and Lockett, obviously, you know, and I don't expect him to even be the number three guy right out of the gate. I think maybe he makes an impact in the playoffs, but for, you know, regular season fantasy football, you can leave him on the waiver wire.
Yeah, 100% agree. Before we move into Not Top 10, guys, I want to talk to you about Pristine Auction. They have hundreds of daily auctions for all sorts of memorabilia. It is free to join and free to bid, and you only pay when you win. And right now, you can get $5 off your first item by entering promo code SLEEPERWIRE. Visit pristineauction.com to get that $5 off. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. Now we're going to move into our Not Top 10 segments. Nader, you and I have done this several times this season. Jared, we wanted to do this with you since you are very known for your rankings for several years in a row. We're going to be looking at the top 10 rankings for PPR for, well, I put week 10 in the show notes. It should be for week 13 for both running backs and wide receivers, and talking about who doesn't belong in the top 10. So since you have presumably your rankings already there, it's going to be easy for you to look and say, okay, well, this guy doesn't belong there because I have him in here instead. So we're going to come, you know, say who doesn't belong in the top 10 and who we think should take their place. And we're going to start with running backs. Give me just a second here. I'm just going to read through 1 through 10 and then 11 through 20 so people can kind of get a heads or kind of, you know, a hint of who is just outside of that top 10. So from 1 through 10, we've got Dalvin Cook versus Jacksonville, Austin Eckler at number 2 versus the Patriots, Derrick Henry versus Cleveland, James Robinson at Minnesota, Nick Chubb at Tennessee. At 6, we have Aaron Jones at Philly, then Alvin Kamara at Atlanta, Antonio Gibson at Pittsburgh, Miles Sanders at Green Bay, and Chris Carson versus the New York Giants at number 10. Right outside of the top 10, we've got DeAndre Swift, David Montgomery, Kareem Hunt, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Nyheim Hines, Ezekiel Elliott, Raheem Mostert, Wayne Gallman, Duke Johnson, and Josh Jacobs. So, Jared, I will kick this to you first. It doesn't have to be just one guy, but looking at the top 10 here for expert consensus rankings from Fantasy Pros, who doesn't belong in the top 10?
Yeah, I have three guys out and, you know, three in. My three out are Alvin Kamara, Antonio Gibson, and Chris Carson.
And who would you replace them with?
The replacements for me are Clyde Edwards-Helaire, David Montgomery, and DeAndre Swift.
Why do you like Edwards-Helaire? Because that is who I would put in there as well.
Yeah, and he's someone I feel like I probably rank too high every week. His problem has just been that the Chiefs have been so pass heavy, especially lately. They're third in situation neutral pass rate over the last 4 weeks. So, you know, Edwards-Helaire averaging just 10 carries per game over that span, but he's gotten 65% of the Chiefs' total running back carry. So he's getting a big, you know, slice of the pie. He just needs Kansas City to run it a bit more. I think in this spot against Denver, they're, you know, tougher against the pass than the run. That's not to say that Mahomes isn't going to have success through the air, but, you know, the Chiefs, right, big favorites. They should be playing with a lead. If they run it just a bit more, I think you can get, you know, 15 or so carries out of CEH along with the passing game work. He's obviously a good touchdown bet with the Chiefs having, you know, a huge 32 point implied total. So I'm just betting on a bit more running from Kansas City. I think that's really all Edwards-Helaire needs to jump into the top 10 this week.
Yep. I would put him in the top 10 purely on the matchup, you know, against Denver. Chiefs are going to blow him out of the water.
Now, is this considered cheating considering he has his rankings pre-done?
Or no,
he's not. I don't know. I feel like this is like considered performance enhancing drugs right now.
No, because his rankings are part of the expert consensus rankings.
Exactly. So he has like a say in it. So like he could like he changes up a little bit. That's all I'm saying is,
are you saying that he altered his rankings just for the show?
Yeah, he specifically
I'm not over
the original rankings. So his rankings are a little bit bad. I don't know.
I'm not that good. I don't have that much time.
Well, I'm a huge Antonio Gibson fan. I don't like the matchup in Pittsburgh. I would take him out and I would move Sanders up, move Chris Carson up, and then slot Clyde Edwards-Helaire in there at number 10. I'm curious why you don't think Chris Carson should be in the top 10.
Because, I mean, last week in his first game back from injury, Carlos Hyde played more snaps. Carlos Hyde ran more routes. Carlos Hyde had more carries. Carlos Hyde had more targets. I think that was Seattle easing Carson back in from the injury. I think eventually, probably even this week, he takes back over as the lead back. But until I see him, back something closer to the feature role he was playing before the injury, he just doesn't quite make my top 10 yet.
We had news today that Carlos Hyde was downgraded to did not participate in practice.
Yeah, I mean, if he's out, Carson's in my top 10.
Yeah. Nader, what about you? Who are you thinking? Who does not belong here in this top 10?
I am going to have to take Antonio Gibson out against Pittsburgh. I just don't trust a back that's in theory splitting carries with McKissick against Pittsburgh defense. I'm going to have to agree and take Chris Carson out. And the Giants defense has actually been a lot better as of late. And I think it is a little bit of a sneaky defense. I think they can really stop the run. I want to put Raheem Mostert against Buffalo inside the top 10. I want him to take Chris Carson's spot. I think the Niners with Brandon Ayuk back and a need to run the ball in order to keep Nick Mullins comfortable and happy in that game. I think he's got to get a lot of touches and a lot of touchdowns.
Is that the 49er fan in you talking?
A little bit, but at the same time, I mean, when you have a Shanahan scheme running the ball, then you got to believe in the number one RB in that system.
Yeah, I want to put Nyheim Hines in the top 10 too, but...
I think he could overtake Miles Sanders.
I think Jonathan Taylor's going to be back.
I would still rather have Nyheim Hines on this list than Miles Sanders. I think he is a great receiving back, especially in a PPR system where he's just going to get piled on points after points for basically free against a pretty devastated Houston defense. And I mean, Miles Sanders is currently in what their coach says, in a running back by committee system. And we saw last week, he barely was able to get 50 yards total through the game.
Jared, where do you have Ezekiel Elliott ranked? Because I feel like 16, I don't know if I've ever seen Zeke ranked that low.
I actually have him a few spots lower than that.
Do you? Where do you have him at?
I have him I think I have him at 20. I don't have my actual rankings pulled up here, but I think he's right around 20 in PPR. So since Dak Prescott was injured, Zeke is outside the top 20 running backs in both non-PPR and PPR points. We know beyond Dak, all their offensive line injuries, so he just hasn't been super efficient on the ground. And then his passing game usage has just been disappointing. He's averaging fewer than 3 targets per game since Dak Prescott went down. He's only running routes on 50 to 60% of the dropbacks. So, they're using Tony Pollard a bit more. Zeke just isn't getting enough volume in what's, kind of a subpar Cowboys passing game now to be anything more than a mid-range RB2.
Is he a good trade candidate in Dynasty? Because I think trade deadlines have mostly passed for redraft leagues. In Dynasty, do you think people are down on him?
You mean a buy or a sell?
Buy.
I don't. It's crazy to say because he's 25 years old? Mm-hmm. I don't know. He doesn't look like he has the juice he did, even last year. I'm not. Now that said, he was producing very well in fantasy when Dak Prescott was healthy. So even if Zeke still isn't, a top 5 talent in the NFL, if Dak gets healthy again next year, the O-line gets a bit healthy, he could still put up another top 5 season. So if you're a dynasty team more in win now-ish mode, you're trying to win next year, I think he's an okay buy right now.
I like that win now-ish mode.
Yeah, I mean, running backs are a product of the offense. If the offense is moving well, the running back will move well regardless of how talented he is. So I'm curious to know why Wayne Gallman is number 18 on this honorable mentions list. I think considering he has the second most red zone targets on the team other than Evan Ingram, and he's only been playing 5 games so far, I think he could really provide a lot of sneaky value at the running back position.
You can make the argument that the Giants are going to be down too.
Most likely. He's going to catch a lot of passes. This is a Seattle defense that is currently one of the worst in the NFL.
And one of the best offenses, too.
I'm going to completely disagree with you here. I actually have Gallman ranked lower than that. So, you know, he obviously came through in a great spot against Cincinnati last week. I mean, I think, you know, we kind of expected him to have a big game. He has scored a bunch of touchdowns since taking over for Devontae Freeman. I don't think you can count on him to keep scoring at that rate in this Giants offense, especially with Colt McCoy under center now. I mean, it's not an offense I want to bet on. Seattle, bad against the pass. They're actually a top 10 run defense. So it's not a great matchup for Gallman on the ground. And he's still splitting passing down work with Deion Lewis. So if they fall behind Seattle, which I think we all expect, you know, Gallman's going to come off the field a bit for Deion.
We did, it was J.D. McKissic versus Wayne Gallman for one of our great debate shows a couple of weeks ago. And the touchdown argument was my main thing against Gallman. Before, I think the game with the Bengals, he had had only 10 total targets in the previous four games. So you can't really call him, you know, maybe some of those targets were in the red zone, but he's not a passing down threat. 10 targets in four games. If he doesn't get into the end zone, he was a complete waste to play that week. With Wayne Gallman, you're just crossing your fingers hoping he gets in.
Well, a lot of running backs are in that same exact scenario right now. I mean, with how decimating the running back position is, no Saquon, no McCaffrey, no, I mean, you even want to include Zeke on that list. You're basically playing a running back with the highest potential chance of getting inside that end zone and kind of hoping for the best at this point. There isn't too many PPR backs where their points are gained from catches, yards, without scoring in the end zone. On the top of my head, other than maybe some like a James White, who happened to actually score two touchdowns last week. Right now, I just don't see too many running backs who fall under the category of not touchdown dependency.
That's fair. I just, again, I don't want to bet on a Giants back, you know, on a team by Colt McCoy to score a touchdown this week.
That is completely fair.
Yeah, I was just about to say they might not have their starting quarterback.
Yeah.
So 2020, man, we're going to have Mike Glennon and Colt McCoy starting.
Glennon wasn't too bad last week.
I almost picked him up and played him in a super flex. I had Woods in that spot instead, which worked out. Okay. But yeah, Glennon had a pretty good game. Who do the Jaguars are at Minnesota?
Yeah.
So, well, let's talk about that real quick. Is Glennon a good play?
I think he's fine in two quarterback leagues, super flex leagues.
Obviously.
I don't think he makes the cut. But yeah, I mean, he was he ranked third last week in average depth of throw and percentage of pass of 20 plus yards downfield. So he was chucking it downfield. They didn't have DJ Chark or Chris Conley last week. It seems like both of those guys could get back. So, you know, again, in two quarterback leagues, I would not be afraid at all to throw Glennon in that second quarterback spot.
Yeah, I like it. So he's someone who, in a two quarterback league or a super flex league, should he be picked up if he's on waivers?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I will see. How long is he expected to be playing?
I don't know. Gardner Minshew is healthy enough to play, right? And then Doug Marone's just saying, no, it's Glennon.
Yep.
But at the same time, I guess if he is healthy, one bad throw, one bad interception, he could be taken out right away.
That's also true.
And then we get Luton or Minshew, and then what a mess.
Yeah.
What a mess. Well, let's move into wide receivers, guys. 1 through 10 here, we have Devontae Adams versus Philly, Tyreek Hill versus Denver, DK Metcalf at 3 versus the Giants, Keenan Allen versus the Patriots, Adam Thielen versus Jacksonville at 5, and then at 6 we have AJ Brown versus Cleveland, Stephon Diggs at San Francisco, Calvin Ridley versus New Orleans, Allen Robinson versus Detroit, and then Justin Jefferson at number 10 versus Jacksonville. Then the next 10 here: Hopkins, Woods, McLaurin, Lockett, Kupp, Deontay Johnson, Michael Thomas, Devontae Parker, Brandon Cooks, Chase Claypool. So, Jared, I'm going to kick this one to you again as well. Who does not belong in the top 10 for wide receivers, and who should take their place and why?
Yeah, I only have one disagreement here. It's Stephon Diggs out for me and Michael Thomas in. And I guess it's largely just matchup stuff. You know, with Diggs, the Niners have been tough against wide receivers all season. They're eighth in adjusted fantasy points allowed to wide receivers, and they just got Richard Sherman back, who Stephon Diggs will see a lot of, at least when he's lined up on the outside on Monday night. So he just barely falls outside the top 10 for me. And then I have Michael Thomas in. He's seen 46% of the Saints' targets in Taysom Hill's two starts. Now, obviously, Thomas didn't do a whole lot in that Denver game last week. He didn't need to do a whole lot. I mean, you know, we know the Broncos quarterback situation. The Saints won that game easily. But you go back 2 weeks ago against Atlanta, who he's playing this week, 9 catches, 104 yards on 12 targets. So I think you should see a similar performance from Thomas this week in Atlanta, another indoor game. You don't have to worry about the weather. I think Taysom Hill throws it a bit more than he did against the Broncos last week.
Nader, what are you thinking?
So I want to take Keenan Allen off this list. I think him.
All right, justify that.
He's been super hot lately, but yeah. he's going to go against Stephon Gilmore. And Stephon Gilmore is, he's the best cornerback in the NFL right now. So I expect Bill Belichick to have a good game plan to really stifle the sensational rookie. And because of that, I want to take him off this list. And I'm going to put Robert Woods in there. Maybe not necessarily at number four, but I'm going to find a way to sandwich Robert Woods in there against Arizona. I mean, right now with Arizona's weaker defense coming online, I expect Robert Woods to have a massive bounce back game to put and propel himself into the top 10.
So I'm having a hard time with having DeAndre Hopkins at number 11 because I feel like he should be ranked in the top 10. But then I'm looking at 1 through 10 and I'm thinking, who am I going to move out of the top 10? You know, ooh. I feel like this is one of those weeks where the expert consensus ranking is almost dead on.
Well, with DeAndre Hopkins, the issue is he's going to be lined up against Jalen Ramsey, and Jalen Ramsey specifically only wants to guard DeAndre Hopkins. And in their history of matchups, he only averages 6 catches for 77 yards. It'll be hard for him to breach the top 10 with those statistics. And he's never allowed a touchdown to DeAndre Hopkins. So I'm not expecting that to happen this week.
That is a good stat. Thank you for pointing that out. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have Hopkins outside the top 10. Tough matchup against Ramsey. And Hopkins has cooled off lately. He's been under 11 PPR points in 4 of his last 6 games now. And a lot of those have been tougher matchups for him. But I think it kind of shows that Kyler Murray and the Cardinals are willing to, you know, not force feed the ball to Hopkins when he's in tougher matchups. So I just don't think you're going to get, you know, 12-plus targets out of him in this spot.
I have a feeling that this is going to be a really high-scoring game, though.
Could be. It's two fast-paced offenses, which I always like. Right. And that tends to create more scoring opportunities for everyone. So I wouldn't surprise me at all. But I don't know. The Rams' pass defense is tough. Kyler seems to be struggling with that shoulder injury. So I'm not super high on the Cardinals' pass offense in general in this game.
Kyler was a full participant on Thursday in practice, so there is that. He might still be, you know, nagging him a little bit, but he still was a full participant.
It is a divisional game. Divisional games tend to be on the lower scoring side. These teams, they know each other very well. And I don't know if this is a hot take or not, but I don't think Kyler Murray is that great of a quarterback.
You don't know if that's a hot take or not?
Honestly, I think a lot of people are trying to see.
Take your 49ers jersey off for a second.
Hold on. I'm not wearing it. Currently not wearing it. No, I mean, he decimated the Niners last time they played, but
he's so good.
He's so good because he's so small. And I mean, the one time he gets sacked, he has a injured shoulder. I mean, like defensive linemen say, you might be small, but when I finally grab you, it's going to hurt. So I think he's going to have a shorter lived career, maybe not talent wise, but injury wise.
Response to that, Jared?
I want to hear it.
To Kyler Murray's not that good.
If you take away his rushing ability, he's just okay. But you can't take away that. Kyler Murray is right up there with Lamar Jackson as far as rushing talent at the quarterback position goes. So I mean,
and Lamar Jackson, he's seeing the sophomore slump massively, and I think Kyler Murray has seen a little bit of a more sophomore slump type plays as of late. I think it's only a matter of time till the NFL catches on the Kyler Murray ways.
Murray has been awesome all season until this last week.
Well, because of rushing yards, not necessarily passing. Take away a Hail Mary from DeAndre Hopkins.
I care about the fantasy points.
I think before these last 2 weeks, he was on pace to have the best fantasy season ever by a quarterback, better than Lamar Jackson last year, better than Patrick Mahomes 2 years ago. But then I think the shoulder has been the issue the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, so it's until week 12, he had never scored under 20 fantasy points. And that's in 4-point passing.
Oh, he had a massive amount of rushing touchdowns. I think it is a little bit of a skewed stat.
That's okay. He had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 rushing touchdowns.
That's a lot. That's not going to happen again.
He is one of the main reasons why I am 11-1 in my money league, despite losing Christian McCaffrey and Dak Prescott. Because I have him, it's Antonio Gibson and James Robinson. They're keeping me in it.
He's saving a lot of people right now.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's going to work this year. It may even work next year, but career-wise, I don't think he is going to be the man. Yeah, I've said that about Lamar Jackson.
Have me back on the podcast in 2 years, and we'll see if you were right. All
right, well, I'll put that in my schedule. I mean, I've said that about Lamar Jackson, especially because not necessarily because of him, but mostly because of Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator. I mean, he made Colin Kaepernick look like the best quarterback in the NFL. So once defense adjusts, it's a little bit of a different story.
Yeah, I do think. I mean, there are a lot of similarities between Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray. So I would not be surprised if Murray takes a bit of a step back next year, just as teams, you know, maybe figure out how to contain him a bit as a runner and make him throw it a bit more.
I mean, you saw Bill Belichick. He did the same thing. He didn't even rush the passer of Kyler Murray. He just kind of made sure he stayed in the pocket and forced him to throw. And after that, batted balls after interceptions. And I think we're going to see teams take that similar step.
All right. If we want to do a clickbait episode, we're just going to title this episode, Kyler Murray is not that good.
Hey, in a year, it might not be quick.
That's going to wrap it up for not top 10. Guys, real quick, give me your fantasy game of the week. Which game are you most looking forward to talking about or to watching, I guess I should say, due to fantasy purposes? Mine is Rams at Cardinals. Nader, what about you?
That was easy. That was an easy, like, little pick for you. That doesn't even count. I'm going to go.
If I do the show notes, I get to type it in first.
Fine. I'm going to go New Orleans against Atlanta. I think that's going to have a lot of fantasy implication over the next week.
Jared, what about you?
It's Browns-Titans for me. You know,
I like
it. Up Kareem Hunt versus Derrick Henry. And then, you know, if by any chance either run game struggles, I think, you know, both passing games could have a lot of success in this matchup too. So, you know, I think Ryan Tannehill is a nice starter this week. I think Baker Mayfield has some upside. And then, you know, Jarvis Landry's been good. As long as it hasn't been, you know, monsoons or hurricane force winds for those Browns games. You know, we saw what Landry could do last week when they finally had some good weather. So I think there's going to be a lot of points in that game.
All right, guys. Come prop up with us on Thrive Fantasy as well. It's a DFS app for player prop bets. For the NFL, you choose 10 out of 20 player prop options to build your lineup. The riskier the pick, the more points it is worth. You earn the most points to win a share of the prize pool. Use promo code SLEEPERS when you sign up today, and you'll receive an instant $20 bonus on your first deposit of $20 or more. Download Thrive Fantasy from the App Store or Play Store. And when you use promo code SLEEPERS, email a screenshot of that to us at sleeperwire@gmail.com, and it will automatically get you into a SleeperWire Listener League for 2021. All right, guys. Well, that is going to wrap it up for the show this week. Jared, thanks again for joining us, man. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you, follow you, and support you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at SmolaDS, and then all my work is on DraftSharks.com, so check that out. Thanks.
And Nader, what about you?
Of course, TopTierTactics_. That is my Twitter, my newly made Twitter, by the way. And then, of course, if you want to listen to my fantasy football podcast, Top Tier Tactics Fantasy Football.
And you can follow SleeperWire on Twitter at SleeperWire Show. And I'm on there at Prof_ChrisSW. And you can hit me up on the Sleeper app at Professor Chris. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Jared, thanks again for joining us this week. Everybody else, we will catch you next time.
Good luck, everybody.